Welcome to the More Life Church podcast. We are always encouraged to know that God is working through this ministry to touch lives. So if you have a story to share of how God is working in your life, please let us know and send us an email to amen@morelifechurch.com. Now enjoy today's message.
We're in a series called about legacy, and this is week three. And just a simple definition of legacy is living a life that outlives you and living a life that outlives me. And that is the goal. Last weekend on Sunday night, I shared a message with you that had three points and had three ideas and had a main verse of Scripture as our key text. And I wanted to go back and revisit that and share some thoughts. This weekend and next weekend, we're not going to have any fill-in-the-blank notes. We'll revisit that in December for our Christmas series. But I just wanted a chance to kind of just talk to you for a minute. From my heart, and as I endeavor to do every weekend, and I'm glad I did. I'm glad I did that, because as you'll see at the end, some things came into our world yesterday that kind of threw us a curveball, and so it was nice to have a little bit of flexibility for this morning. So I want to read this verse of Scripture to you from Deuteronomy chapter 1, and it's the background is this: the children of Israel are out of Egypt, and they're on their way to the promised land. And they're traveling through the wilderness, a 40-year journey, which should not have taken that long, but took them 40 years. And they get a word from God. They get a word from God that I think applies to us today. And in Deuteronomy chapter 1, verses 6 and 7, the Lord our God said to us at Horeb, or many people believe that's Mount Sinai, "You have stayed long enough at this mountain. Break camp and advance." And I believe that is a now word for us, for our church, for your family, and for our community. What I believe God is saying is, you've gone through some things long enough. You've gone through challenge and struggle as a pattern over and over long enough. You've stayed in a certain emotional state long enough. It's time for you to pick up camp, move on, and see God do what's next. Just make a decision that you're going to advance. Anybody want to advance? Yeah, and so they say break camp in advance, but here's something that's interesting about any time we make a decision to make forward motion. Anytime you decide, anytime I decide we're going to advance, there's something that comes along with that decision, and it's adversity. Adversity always accompanies our decision to advance. And adversity for each person is different. But how we respond to adversity makes a big, big decision in our life. Means that we have a part to play in this. And there's three choices for us. When adversity comes, you can either choose to quit, you can choose to camp, or you can choose to climb. And I believe that each and every one of us need to come to a place in our heart where our desire is to have a legacy that climbs. Although I know quitting is very, very, very much a part of people's reality. I know that camping out is very much a part of our reality. And so what I want to do is I want to look at some verses of Scripture that outline each of these three things and get us all to make a decision today that we're going to go forward. So the first one is in 2 Kings chapter 4. Verses 1 through 6. And it's the story of a widow woman. She'd been recently widowed and her husband had outstanding debts. And this is what occurs. The wife of a man from the company of the prophets cried out to Elisha, "Your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that he revered the Lord. But now his creditor is coming to take my two boys as his slaves." Goes on, and Elisha says this, "How can I help you? Tell me, what do you have in your house?" And the woman replies, "Your servant has nothing there at all," she said, "except a small jar of oil." I want you to pause and think about this. The woman has just lost her husband. They're getting ready to come in and take everything. The prophet shows up and gives her a way out by asking her a question. She's in the middle of what I think is probably her darkest hour of despair, ready to quit, ready to throw in the towel. And it's interesting how quitting can darken the lens in which we see through. Whenever the temptation to quit comes, it changes our perspective. Watch, he asks, how can I help you and what do you have? And she says, her first response is, I have, everybody say that blue word, I have. Now how many times do we do this in life? When we're down, when we're discouraged, when we're on the verge of quitting. Some of you probably did it this morning, even though you may not be ready to quit. You walked in your closet and you looked at the shelves full of clothes and the hangers full of clothes. And you thought to yourself, with all those clothes in the closet, some of y'all thought, I've done this. I have nothing to wear. I get real hungry, sometimes late at night. And I go for second dinner. I'm already eating my first dinner. And I go, how do you have second dinner? Yeah, I go for second dinner. And I'll go in the kitchen and I'll open the refrigerator with all those groceries. I'll open the cupboards with all those groceries. And my initial response is, there is nothing in this house to eat. Because when we have a mindset that is like that, it darkens the lens. Everybody in this room, I bet you've had the temptation to quit. And when you're in the moment where you want to quit, everything gets dark. It's like wearing darkened glasses. 2011, a lot of you know this about me. My mom, I lost my mom in 2011. And it was a moment where I was ready to quit. And I went to a conference, and I was asked to speak in one of the morning sessions. And it started in a night session. And so Pastor Jerry, who was here last weekend, he serves as one of our board of overseers. He was speaking the night session. And at the end of the session, he kind of went off script and just said to a room full of pastors and church leaders, if you're in this room and you're ready to quit, I want to pray with you. He asked everybody to bow their heads and close their eyes. And that was me. He was talking to me. He didn't know he was talking to me, but he was talking to me. So I bowed my head and closed my eyes, and he said, he waited for what seemed like forever. You ever been in an environment where God's waiting on you to make a decision and you just won't make it and God doesn't let up on you? Like he just keeps on going and going and going. I'm like, God, that's me. I know that's me, but I'm speaking in the morning session. I can't tell all these people I'm ready to quit and then talk to them with any conviction and with any passion because I got an ego problem sometimes, y'all. Y'all like that too? Like I just couldn't be honest like that. I was like, I'm not raising my hand. I'm not going to tell everybody in this room I'm ready to quit. And so I just stayed quiet and thought, well, if I just outlast Jerry, he'll move on. Finally, after what seemed like ages, somebody responded, and I was like, thank God. Somebody finally obeyed the Lord and got me out of this mess, you know? Like, I'm just like trying to find a way out. I'm ready to quit. I can't even see that God's trying to help me. And so we finished, and I turned to my wife. I was like, I don't know what took that person so long to respond, but I'm glad they did. I mean, what is that guy's problem? And she said, it wasn't a guy. I said, how do you know? Were you peeking? She said, no. I know because it was me. She and I were both there, ready to quit. One of us was honest. One of us wasn't. And what she didn't know, and what Pastor Jerry didn't know, was I'd already written my letter of resignation. I was ready to turn it into the board. I was done. I mean, when I say I was ready to quit, I was full on done. I was done. I was tired. I was worn out. I was hurt. I was a whole bunch of things that I don't even have language to describe, but I was done. And I said, baby, I'm sorry I hung you out to dry. Let's get Pastor Jerry and Joy and let's have him pray for us. And I don't know what happened, but we went to them and they prayed for us in that church building that evening, and they prayed for us. And I don't know what happened. All I know is something in me changed. All I know is something was different. All I know is God was trying to get some help to me in spite of me. And thank God for someone who will come alongside and help. Look at the end of this story. Elisha said this. Here's the action step that he gives when she's ready to quit. Go around and ask all your neighbors for empty jars. Don't ask for just a few. You know, sometimes the best thing you can do when you're ready to quit is go find somebody who can help you. And the first person that you get to, they may not be the one, but go find someone who can help you. He says, go get all the empty jars, not just a few. Then go inside and shut the door behind you and your sons. Pour oil into all the jars, and as each is filled, put it to one side. She left him and shut the door behind her and her sons. They brought the jars to her. And she kept pouring. When all the jars were full, she said to her son, "Bring me another one." But the son replied, "There's not a jar left." Then the oil stopped flowing. Once all the emptiness was filled, God stopped moving. See, because here's what you need to know. God receives my emptiness and he replaces it with his fullness. When I go to God and I say, "God, I feel like quitting. I'm empty. I don't have anything else to give out." He comes alongside and he pours out his goodness. He pours out his mercy. He pours out his encouragement. He pours out his fullness in our life. As soon as we say, "I'm ready to quit." Listen, if you're in a place where you're ready to quit, quitting, knowing that you are feeling that is a gift to you. It doesn't feel like a gift. But as soon as you come to the end of yourself and you realize, "I cannot do this on my own," you position yourself to say, "God, I'm empty and I need your fullness. I need this from you." Maybe you're in that space. Your legacy, the thing that outlives you, doesn't have to be a spirit and attitude that quits. You can make it. You can live a life that outlives you and helps others. There's an incredible verse in Matthew chapter 17. They're on the mountain. They're on the mountain of transfiguration, and Jesus is transformed right in the presence of them. And while they watched, Jesus' appearance was changed. His face became bright like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. Then Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with Jesus. And Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it's good that we're here." Everybody say, "Here." It's good that we're here. If you want me to, I'll put up three tents here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. So here's what I want you to see. If your response to adversity isn't quitting, your challenge isn't over, because the next response to adversity is to camp out. To get to a place in life where you're familiar, where you're comfortable. In other words, let me say it to you this way. If the enemy can't get you to quit, he's going to try to get you to camp. He's going to try to get you to stay exactly where you are. Listen, Peter loves this. This is an incredible moment. I think last weekend in our church family was one of the most incredible moments I've ever experienced in our church. But guess what? It's over. We can't camp there. And Peter's saying, "Let's put up some tents. Let's just chill out and let's camp out, Jesus. Just us. Nobody else. Just us. Let's just stay right here and enjoy this. Let's live in a bubble. Let's live in a spiritual bubble where nobody can hurt us. Nobody can talk bad about us. We don't have to really work for anything. We just get to enjoy your presence." But the problem with that is it's very selfish to camp. Years ago, we went camping. My dad used to take me and my stepbrothers camping all the time. And when I say camping, for all of you who are wondering, I mean real camping. Not the hotel on wheels. Like, I'm cool if that's what you do, but this is real camping, like wooden sticks in a tent that when you touch the sides of it after the morning was over, you got drenched because all the dew fell through the cheap tent and drenched you. Anybody remember that stuff? Like where you cooked your own food on an open fire. Well, the first night we were out there, one of the nights we were out there, a gang of raccoons came into our camp and took all our garbage, woke us up, made a big old mess, and we had to clean it up. And I'll take credit. One of us had an idea. The idea was, let's get ready, because they're going to come back. And let's get them. And so we went out, and we gathered up a bunch of rocks and stones, because we were going to get ready for these raccoons when they came back. We even set the trash out and didn't tie it up real tight so they could get in there and just bait them a little bit. So it's nighttime, and we hear it. We hear the rustling. They're digging in the trash. And so we go out there and we got our rocks and we just start throwing at where those raccoons were. Except the second night, they weren't raccoons, they were skunks. And we threw rocks at those skunks, and those skunks threw something back at us more powerful than rocks. It was bad. That's the last time I threw a rock at any living creature, I'll tell you the truth. I was just done. Here's my takeaway. Camping stinks. Quite literally in that case. And camping spiritually, camping in a figurative sense as we're using it, it stinks too. I'm going to tell you why. Because when you camp, you think about you and nobody else. You think about your comfort, how it is for me, how it is for us, and you forget everyone. Jesus says to them, no, we don't want you to camp here. I appreciate the thought, Peter. I like the idea. I like you. You're a good guy, but I don't like the idea of a tent. And watch what happens. And Jesus came and touched them. Get up, he said. Don't be afraid. Watch this. And when they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus. The goal in life is when you get up and you move forward, you don't look at the circumstances surrounding you. You don't look at the other people and what they have to think and what they have to say. You don't pay attention to all that noise that's in the background. The goal, y'all, is to look at Jesus only. And when you get your eyes fixed on him and you interpret life through him, you'll greatly reduce your chances of staying stuck and camping out and just make the decision. I'm going to go forward. How many of y'all want to go forward? So in 2013, a man came into my life. He's one of our board of overseers now. His name's John. John came on site and he helped us identify some barriers that were attached to the goals that we as a church felt were God-sized goals in our life. We outlined those goals. And he told us, here's a barrier, and here's a barrier, and here's a barrier. And one of the very first barriers that he saw for us as a church was the facility that we were in. It was kind of funny because last weekend, I had some pastor friends here who'd been in our church before, and we were in the new lobby, the place where we want y'all to connect. And they looked around, and more than one of them said, "How in the world did you all do that in there?" I said, "We didn't do that in there. We did something very different." They're like, "How did you manage that? How did you do it?" I said, "Here's what came to me. My wife and I, we have 4 kids. You all know this. They're 35 and a half months apart from the oldest to the youngest. We had 4 in diapers at one time, y'all. We have 4 driving right now. We have 3 in college. Anybody know how that happens? I'm going to tell you. High energy and low IQ. And in that phase of our life, we don't know how we made it through that phase of our life. If you're in that phase, let me just tell you, it's going to get better. You just kind of got to put your head down and just keep on going. You're going to get sleep in about 15 or 18 years. You'll be fine, but just keep on going. It's kind of like, I just told him, I said, I don't know. It's kind of like that to me. We just did what we had to do. How many of you know sometimes in life, that's what you do. You just do what you have to do. Just get through it. And so he came through and he said, you got to make a move in your facility. I'm like, wow, that's going to be incredible. And our goal that we gave him, he pressed me for a measurable goal. And I didn't want to give him a measurable goal because I just didn't want to do that. But he pressed me and he pressed me and he pressed me. And I said, okay, here's the goal. I believe it's God's will in this next phase that we reach 1% of our county for Jesus. That was 2013. 1% of our county. He inspired me to keep climbing. He inspired me to not settle. He inspired all of us indirectly to not settle. He said, okay, here's what you're going to have to do. And he gave us some guardrails. 1% of our county. There's about 150,000 people in Lincoln County. So 1% of 150,000 is 1,500 people. That was 5 years ago. Last weekend, for the very first time in the history of our church, we reached, in attendance, over 1% of our county in our 3 weekend services. And even more importantly than that, last weekend alone, 45 decisions for Jesus last weekend alone. Because we all decided, I'm not going to look at you. You're not going to look at me. We're not going to worry about what's safe and what's comfortable. But we're going to look to Jesus and ask him what's next, what he wants, what he desires. And every time we look to him, he always moves us up and on, up and forward. There's no backing up in God. There's only forward. There's a verse of scripture that's very obscure that I'm going to close with. And it's found in Hebrews chapter 7. And the latter part of verse 10 says this. Because when Melchizedek met Abraham, Levi was still in the body of his ancestor. The King James says it really interesting. It says when Melchizedek and Abraham met, Levi was still in Abraham's loins. And I want you to see something here as it relates to legacy. And I want to show you, will you give me like 2 minutes to geek out and do a little bit of genealogy? Anybody give me that? How many give me a minute? Let me see. 1, 2, 3, that's at least 30 minutes. Okay, let's do it. Sad preacher joke. So here's the lineage from Moses all the way to Abraham. Just stay with me. Sarah and Abraham have Isaac. Isaac and Rebekah have Esau and Jacob. Jacob and Leah have Levi. And Levi eventually fathers Moses and Aaron. Great-grandfathers them, somewhere in that vicinity. That verse says this, that when Abraham met Melchizedek, it wasn't just for Abraham to have a relationship with Melchizedek. It wasn't just for Abraham and this individual to meet. It actually was so that Levi could benefit from the relationship that Abraham began with Melchizedek. And Melchizedek was the high priest, and Levi is the descendant of all of the Levites who were the priests. And so something was transferred because Abraham met Melchizedek that greatly benefited generation after generation after generation after generation. Because here's the truth. God doesn't think about this one moment in time. When God decides things, he doesn't just think about you in this moment and me in this moment, although that's covered. He thinks about us generationally. He thinks about how our decisions are going to affect our grandkids and our great-grandkids and our great-great-grandkids. That's why when you make a decision, your decision isn't just for you. It's time that we understand that the decisions that we make weigh outlive us, either positively or negatively, and as we follow God's plan for our life, listen, it's great that he wants to bless you. It's great that he encourages you. It's great that he does things for you, but he's not just thinking about you, he's thinking about you and all that will come after you. That's what he's thinking about. And so when we make this decision that we're going to climb, we have to look at life through the lens of God's faithfulness. That's what he's asking us to do, to look at how he's been faithful to the previous generations. Abraham and the blessing carried on and on and on because Abraham was faithful and he saw the faithfulness of God lived out for generation after generation after generation. I'm going to finish with this last idea. So if Daniel's within earshot, hey, look at that. My man, let's go. That was really cool. I like that. It almost startled me. In the time we have remaining, I just want us to look at life through the lens of God's faithfulness. And let me just tell it through my story, so that you can see it in yours. 2 weeks ago, if you were here, you saw me put a picture on screen of my mom and my grandma. I call her Nani. She came to this country just over 60 years ago from Italy. My grandfather, Nanu, came ahead of her 3 years. This last week, my daughter was doing a paper for university, and she called my grandmother and interviewed her and asked her some questions, some simple questions like, why did you come here? How did you decide to do that? And who came first? How long ahead? And how did you pay for it? And all those things. My grandfather came here 3 years ahead of my grandmother, my uncle, my aunt, and my mom. Someone paid his way here so that he could come here and work and bring the rest of his family along after him for one simple reason: for a better life. For a better life for him and his family. So he worked and he sent the money back and they came over 60 years ago. I don't know why it messes with me, but it does. I don't know why it wrecks me emotionally, but it does. To think that we're just one boat ride away from never meeting is pretty insane. And that a man I'll never meet gave something that I live in the benefit of every single day. Because he gave to someone who had need. And it affected people that man will never know. To me, it's Abraham and Melchizedek. That the offspring is more than the offspring. It's the relationships that God uses to make a difference in the lives of people. I promise I won't cry every weekend in this church building. You have to just give me a minute. Because one weekend wasn't enough for any of us to show proper thanks and gratitude for God's faithfulness. If you've ever wondered if God can come through for you, I just want you to look at this. Because what we're living in and what we're experiencing together is God's faithfulness and the faithfulness of a whole bunch of people who said, we're going to do something that outlives us. We're going to do our best. We're going to give our best. We're going to sacrifice our best. We're going to leave a mark. We're going to leave a mark. And I get a little bit emotional because yesterday morning, we received word that my grandmother, Nani, had a heart attack. And right after this service, we're going to go see her. Maybe say goodbye to her for the very last time. And while I'm sad about that, I'm hopeful. I'm hopeful because each and every one of us can be reminded of those who went on ahead of us. That no one in this room, no one watching online, regardless of what your ego has convinced you to think about yourself, you are not here on your own. There are others who have gone before you that you are standing on their shoulders. There are people who have paved a way for us. And if that does not motivate each and every one of us to be that to someone else, then I don't know what will. To think that people sacrificed and gave and served and did and prayed all so that you could be where you are. Because here's what I promise you. Someone upstream of you that you may never meet paid a price for you that you will never understand. They made a move for you that you just cannot get. And when you start looking through the lens of God's faithfulness, I don't know how you can quit. I don't know how you can camp. When you look at all that God has done in your past, I don't know how you can just stay there and not want to just climb and say, there's more to do. There's more people to reach. There's more Jesus to experience. There's more love to be given out. There's more of what God has for this community than we've ever experienced before. I'm not going to stay here. I'm not going to park here. I'm not going to camp here. We're going to keep on moving because there's a world that's hurting and in need, and He wants to use you to reach them. He does. He does. A man paid a price for my grandparents that I'll never meet. As an example of God's faithfulness, I want you to know something. A man paid a price for you that you can meet, and His name is Jesus. I don't know how well you know Him, but I pray that by the time we say amen and finish this service with worship, you have a desire growing in your heart to know Him more than you ever have known Him before. That there is something that compels you and draws you to want to see Him and only Him. To know Jesus Christ and Him crucified. To not worry about the bills. To not worry about the job. To not worry about the family chaos. To not worry about the holiday whirlwind. To not worry about any of those things. But just to say, Jesus, I only want to see You. I only want to know You. I only want to experience You. Can I tell you, there is a community that is hungry for who God is, and You can be that answer to them. Can I just tell you something? That Jesus paid a high price for us. This community wants His grace and His power. Can I just tell you that we serve a God that can change anything? He can do the impossible. Can I just tell you, we don't have to settle. We don't have to settle for a community that's hurting and in distress and in despair. Can I tell you, we don't have to settle for a community that's riddled with addiction and heartache and pain. We don't have to settle for a community that is reaching out for something. And what we must do is we must give them Jesus. It's our assignment. It's what you've been put on this earth to do. It's what we're called to do. It's what we should be passionate about doing. We should wake up every morning with this incredible, unquenchable fire that lives on the inside of us that says, somebody needs Jesus today. Someone that I come in contact with needs the love of God. We need this. We must have this. And may it be said, may it be the legacy that we live and that we leave, that there are people that addiction was broken off of them, that divorce was ransomed and their script was changed. May it be like the young man that came up to me after the first service and said, I came here 3 years ago, strung out on drugs, selling drugs, doing all this stuff, and Jesus got into my world. I haven't sold a drug in 3 years. I haven't used a drug in 3 years. I haven't drank in 3 years. Listen, don't look at life through the lens of what this world asks you to look at it through. Look at this life through the lens of God's faithfulness. Find His faithfulness in your life. Find His faithfulness in your life. Because He's been good to you. He's been good to me. Now let's celebrate that. Let's celebrate that. I'm going to ask you to do something. I'm through. I'm through. I'm going to ask you to do something. Two things, actually. And can I just tell you really as lovingly as I can? If you thought this step was the end for our church, you need to know it's not the end. It's only the beginning. Because I've told you over and over and over and over again, the vision of our church is not a building. It'll never be attached to a building. It never was, never has been, it never will be. It's attached to reaching, hurting, lost people. I'm going to ask you to do a couple things before we go. This week I came in and talked to our team. I talked to the staff. And I said, we supposedly have a grand opening coming up on December 5th. I said, how are we going to do that? How are we going to be more grand than what we just did? I feel like I'm setting myself up for disappointment. What are we going to do? Bigger donut wall? Somebody said, yeah. I had this idea. Have you ever seen those? You ever seen those mountain climbing walls? Like they have it like, I don't know, where we're at? Yeah, wherever. Yeah, Gander Mountain, all those places. I had an idea that we just put up one of those climbing walls, and if you want a donut, they're at the top of the climbing wall. You got. So if you at least get it, you've burned off enough calories to eat it up, right? And how are we going to do it? And here's what we realized. December 5th isn't going to be our grand opening. It's going to be our grand inviting. I'm going to say it again. It's not going to be our grand opening. It's going to be our grand inviting. Last weekend, we saw the power of what a few can do. And a few did it really, 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 really well. I mean, amazingly well. But on December 5th, here's what we have the opportunity for. Not to see the power of a few, but to see the power of many. And here's what I'm asking you. I'm asking each and every one of you to be a bringer. To be one who offers and extends an invitation. Because I promise you this, there are people in your world, in your circle of influence, in your family, in this community, they're curious about what's happening here. And they're going to be mad at you if you don't give them a chance to see, to invite. So on December 5th, we're going to start our Christmas series, and it's going to be our grand inviting. We're going to give you resources next weekend. You can start now by inviting just to be a bringer. We made room. We made space. And I'll just throw it out there. Somebody says, well, what if we run out of room? We've done that before. We'll just do a third service. Not this year. Because I'm enjoying, I almost feel like cheating that I'm almost done here, right? You know, like, we're going to finish, and it would be 30 minutes ahead of when the last service started 2 weekends ago. So I'm going to ask you to be a bringer. The second thing I'm going to ask you to do is, we intended for you to receive a letter in the mail this week. If you didn't get one from us, they're available at Connect Central Desk. You can grab one of those. And on next weekend is our legacy offering, which we're just simply asking you to ask God what your part is. And just do that. That's simple. Just ask God. I'm going to push back a little bit. I'm going to say this. Some of you aren't even going to ask God. You just already decided you're not doing anything. That's not the spirit of a climber. At least ask. And whatever feedback you get from him, He'll help you do it. It's not like you're just out there on your own. He'll help you do it. Just be willing to ask Him what your part is and do that. I'm going to close with this verse. If you don't know Jesus here in just a minute, I'm going to give you an invitation. We're going to worship and be generous and we're going to get out. There's a verse of scripture in Psalm chapter 40 that has really resonated with my heart as I was preparing. Here's what it says. I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and He heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. And many will see and fear the Lord and put their trust in Him. Blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, who does not look to the proud, to those who turn aside to false gods. Many, Lord my God, are the wonders you have done, the things you planned for us. None can compare with you. Were I to speak and tell of your deeds, they would be too many to declare. I believe that about our life and your life, that if we were to say all the good things that God has said, it'd be too much to declare. Why don't you bow your heads and close your eyes? If you don't know Jesus, it'd be my honor to introduce you. He paid a price for you that you could not pay. And you can meet Him. If you don't know Jesus, or you'd say, I'm far from Jesus, and I want to know Him. I want to know Him. Here's what I want you to understand. God sent the only thing that He had one of, to give His life, to pay a price that none of us could pay for ourselves. He died so that we could live. This free gift of grace is available to you. And I want you to know who He is. If you've never put your faith and confidence in Jesus, I invite you to do that right now. I'm not going to ask you to stand to your feet. I'm not going to ask you to come down front. Just with a lifted hand, I'm going to ask you to say, Josh, that's me. I want to say yes to Him. And I want to do that today. Maybe you say, Josh, I know what it means to follow Him, but He hasn't been the center of my life. I've quit or I've camped and I'm ready to climb again. I'm ready to renew my faith. If that's you on either one of those things, Josh, I don't know Him, or Josh, I know what it means to know Him, but I need to get back on track with God. If that's you right now with heads bowed and eyes closed, just throw up a hand right where you are and say, Josh, that's me. Come on right now. That's your chance. You say, that's me. I don't know Him. Thank you, ma'am. I see you. Anybody else say, yep, okay, buddy, I see you. Yes, ma'am, I see you. Anybody else? Oh, okay, I see you. Anybody else join these four or five or so that I've seen that have said yes? Anybody else want to say yes to Him right now? We're just going to all pray a prayer together and launch you into the next season of what God has for you. Anybody else? I'm just looking real quick. If you're online and then you say yes, right now someone will help connect with you and give you next steps. That's awesome. Can we all pray this prayer together? Say it from your heart. Even if you prayed it dozens of times before, pray it with those who are maybe praying it for the very first time. And say this out loud with me. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You for Your Son. Thank You that He died for me. Thank You that He was raised from the dead for me. I believe in my heart, and I say with my mouth, Jesus is Lord. Now and forever, I turn from my sin, and I turn to Your Son, and I'll follow Him days of my life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Could you all celebrate with me and make some noise for those who made a decision?
Thank you for joining us today. We pray that you have been blessed through the teaching of God's Word. This resource is generously supported by More Life Church and listeners like you. We would like to give you the opportunity to partner with us to impact the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. To give or to learn more about More Life Church, visit our website at morelifechurch.com.